Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Amerks host Toronto tonight at 7 on the proud home of Rochester Americans Hockey. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Yeah, we'll talk more Amerks hockey later this afternoon. We'll talk some Amerks and Sabres hockey with Brian Duff 1 hour from now. But let's get into the NFL draft with a guy who's been doing it better than anybody this pre-draft season. Roto-World's Thor Nystrom, our guest. Good to talk to you again, Thor. How you been?
Oh, I've been great, guys. Great to talk to you. Great to join in.
Oh, Thor, all year you work for this point here. And, boy, great work, by the way, on Roto-World with Chris Sims and the guys doing this mock draft.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Ed Oliver. Yeah, if he's there at 9, that was the pick for the Bills at 9. But that's the question. Do you think he really will be there when Buffalo selects at number 9?
Yeah, you know, so I did that live mock earlier this week. And earlier today, I did another live mock where it was me and this one other guy. We went back and forth. Both of those exercises, Oliver fell to 9. And in a lot of exercises, you know, just singular writers around there, he is also getting to 9. I think, you know, it's, and obviously that's the dream for Bills fans. And I think it's extremely plausible that it's going to happen. You know, the Bills need to cross their fingers that we get at least one extra quarterback, you know, in addition to Kyler above them. I think that would get closer to locking that in. That wasn't a pun with the Missouri quarterback, but I do think it's very plausible. Yes.
Thor, when you look at the Bills' schedule, now that we know who they'll be playing when, week one, the Jets, Le'Veon Bell, week two, the Giants, Saquon Barkley, knowing how important getting off to a fast start is going to be in 2019 for this team, knowing that the Bills' run D has been inconsistent at times with Sean McDermott, will that play into their decision in their round one pick?
Yeah, I mean, I really do think you have to fix that front seven, right? Like, They need help on the interior. They also really, really need help on the edge, you know, for a variety of reasons. You know, I mean, obviously, Hughes is getting older. Alexander's 35. Murphy seems like a free agent bust. You know, Shaq Lawson hasn't completely been what we thought he was going to be, et cetera. You go on and on. And then also on the interior, wherever we can get disruption, that's where we need to go with that pick. And so I think the Bills are in a really, 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 really good spot at 9 because the things they need, this class is just so stacked at the top with those positions.
We're talking to Thor Nystrom, Roto World. Your latest mock or your latest feature on Roto World talks about the top edge rushers. The team, in your opinion, selecting Josh Allen out of Kentucky is getting a slightly better prospect than even Nick Bosa, in your opinion. Why do you think so, Thor?
Yeah, and let me say from the outset, I do think it's close. You know, those guys are very close. But for me, Josh Allen can do more things, and that's why I slightly prefer him. Very well-rounded player, and he wasn't in 2017. You know, I mean, he, you know, when he got done with that season at Kentucky, went to the NFL advisory board, you know, asked for his stock report, basically, and they suggested he go back to school. They said he'd be a mid-round pick. They asked him to get bigger. You know, at that time, he was in the 240s. They wanted more in the 260s. They wanted to see more polish and nuance in his game, and they specifically wanted him to improve against the run. Because before this past season, you know, it was closer to, and it's not as an analog, but it was closer to the situation of a Brian Burns where, you know, he just was not, I'm talking about Josh Allen, was not a good run defender before last season. Well, he went into the summer, you know, or into the offseason, and he had 20 pounds of very good weight, of muscle, you know, it's like very targeted nutrition plan. He was in, you know, he was in the workout facility like all the time, in the gym all the time, the way, stuff like that. And so he shows up in the mid-260s. He's retained his athleticism. And this season, he was a beast against the run, just as he'd been, a beast as a, you know, getting after the quarterback, you know, off the edge before that. And so now he's just a very, very well-rounded player. He can also drop back into coverage. I mean, you probably would never ask him to do that because when the quarterback's in the pocket, you're going to want Josh Allen hunting him. But he can do a lot of different things, whereas Bosa, you know, obviously he's confined to the end. He's a very good prospect. Don't get me wrong. But he is not a perfect prospect. You know, there's like a little bit of stiffness there. He's not like your you're sort of like traditional, like, you know, bendy, twitchy kind of a fella. It's a lot of, you know, effort, a lot of power, a lot of craftiness, a lot of different stuff like that. He's a very good player, and I believe I have him either 3 or 4 overall. So, you know, not crapping on both at all. But, yeah, that's why I would prefer Allen just by a little bit.
He's RotoWorld's Thor Nystrom. Read his work at RotoWorld.com, doing amazing pre-draft work and breaking down a lot of these prospects that we're going to hear their names called on Thursday at the NFL Draft. Thor, do you see a scenario for the Buffalo Bills, perhaps where maybe multiple quarterbacks are taken before they pick at 9, where a guy like Montez Sweat off the edge could fall to the Bills?
Yeah, I do. I think that there is an extremely, extremely high chance that either Oliver or Sweat falls. I don't think that both will, you know, just because of the way that the board goes. But I think that there's a really solid chance that at least one of them does. And I think, you know, if you're the Bills, that's what you're hoping for. I think you're hoping for, you know, one or the other. Obviously, both's not going to fall down. Obviously, Josh Allen's not going to fall down. And obviously, Quinnen's not going to fall down. If I was the Bills, I wouldn't really want Rashawn Gary. I wouldn't use the 9th pick on him. So for me, it's, you know, I'd probably be down between Oliver and Sweat. And I really do think one of them is going to get there. Yeah.
We know from having you on in the past that you like, you're high on TJ Hockenson. A lot of people are. And I think we're beyond the question of can you get value out of the tight end in round one. I think this guy, you can too. So now the fun part. I mean, just where do you see this tight end landing coming up on Thursday night, Thor?
Yeah, and the thing I would tell people out there is Hockenson's different than the tight ends we've seen come into the league, you know, in the past decade as far as a prospect. You know, some of those guys, you know, win later on, and then they developed into really good players. You know, the Kelce, the Gronkowski were not first-round picks. But Hockenson is he is so much further advanced than a lot of those different guys. He's just in a different class than, like, Howard and guys like that. Like, Hockenson's the best blocking tight end that I've seen in college. You know, I haven't been doing this forever, but, you know, at least last 5 or 6 years, clearly the best blocking tight end in terms of that. And last year, he was the best receiving tight end in the nation, you know, maybe not by the counting stats, but, you know, in terms of skill and productivity and share, you know, the team's targets and stuff like that. Hockenson was the number one receiver on Iowa from the jump, and they have Noah Fant, who everyone, the rest of the world, considers the best receiving tight end in this class. Noah Fant's not. It's right now it's TJ Hockenson. It's not particularly close. You don't have to take my opinion for that. You could ask the Ferences, you know, who at this point are known to be tight end whisperers. You know, they were the one that constructed the offense around Hockenson and the passing offense as well, not me. And that's just the way it was. Hockenson could do so many more different things than Fant can do as a receiver, I'm talking about. You know, just in terms of blocking, it's a different world. But even as a receiver, for instance, you know, Fant's really, really, you know, Fant's a great athlete. You know, in space, he's tremendous. He's very good in the red zone as well. But Fant doesn't block very much is number one. He's not a great blocker. And number two, just as a receiver, he's a guy that does not make contested catches. He's a guy that that does not break tackles, and he's a guy who drops the ball more than you would like. You know, Hockenson has more reliable hands. So there's, for all those different reasons, I just think it's a different class. You know, Fant's a guy who would, you know, more fits in that phylum of some of those other prospects we've seen in recent years in terms of a value range. But Hockenson is a completely different thing. He's a moving chess piece. He's a guy that, like, on every single play, you know, we talk about this a lot with, like, safety linebacker hybrids in the NFL. Like, oh, he's a movable chess piece. And, you know, in the modern NFL, you need that. You can bring him into the box and you stop the run, and then you can put him in the slot. You can cover the guy. Like, you know, on any given play, no matter what the offense is doing, you can move that guy around. He can negate stuff. That's Hockenson on offense. He can play everything. He can play inline tight end. He can play in the slot. He was a lead blocking fullback several times when I was in short yard situation or at the goal line. You put him there, he's going to wipe someone out. You know, and so, you know, you put him there, you can use him doing, you know, H-back type stuff, you know, motion him around. They would motion him into the, you know, the backfield. There'd be like a counter. They'd need someone sealed off. Well, Hockenson's going to do that. Every single play, Hockenson was at the forefront of the Iowa coaching staff's mind as far as how to strategize, you know, that specific play, and they moved him around like that. So he's just a different thing. You can't think about him in terms of traditional tight end value ranges, you know, like the, you know, because you see guys like, you know, Howard and Ingram go down there. Hockenson's a different thing, so maybe we should even classify him as a different position. He is an offensive weapon.
RotoWorld's Thor Nystrom, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. And Thor, is you and everybody out there gathers as much information as they can prior to Thursday. I saw a report that made me made my ears perk up a little bit. I'm like, that can't be right. But I after reading, I'm like, well, maybe. But can you make a case for the Packers to use one of their first-round picks? This would be a surprise. To use one of their first-round picks on a quarterback?
I would love to, because I'm a diehard Vikings fan who hates the Packers. I pray that the Packers waste one of those picks on one of these, you know, mediocre quarterbacks in this class. This is a terrible quarterback class. You know, I mean, the Packers, I would just start laughing if they did. It would bring so much joy to my heart if, you know, at the end of the first round, if they, you know, they take a flyer on Daniel Jones, or I think there's a non-zero chance that Drew Lock could fall down the board, and then maybe they, you know, they do the thing where they're like, oh, well, you know, we did this with Rodgers, you know, and Rodgers turned out, well, Rodgers in that class, you know, you go back to when his class was, this was back when I was an undergrad, but I remember it well. To me, Rodgers in that class was the guy, you know, and leading up to the draft, he was in play for the number one pick, and Alex Smith ended up winning that call, you know, with the 49ers or whatever. And then Rodgers goes on this big unexpected tumble. Rodgers was a better player in college than Locke, and he's a better prospect than Locke. If the Packers decided to do something like that, the only guy I would advocate for potentially, if he fell to 30, I don't think there's a great chance that this happens, but there has been some reports that this guy's stock is going down, would be if Haskins got down there. I think the juice would be worth the squeeze with that prospect, but I just wouldn't really understand the justification of burning one of those first round picks when you have a roster that can contend. I mean, they could absolutely make a run at the Super Bowl. Rodgers is nearing the end of his window here, and you're going to burn one of those two first round picks. You know, they basically, you got gifted by the Saints because of the Marcus Davenport thing last year. You're going to burn one of them to take like one of the, you know, the lesser, you know, like a, you know, a sort of a tier two or tier three guy in a bad quarterback class, when they could merely just, you know, take a guy that's going to help this year's team try to get better in the short term. And then next year's quarterback class, just like last year's quarterback class, is way, way, way better than this quarterback class. So I think it would be a mistake, but man, would it warm my heart.
Well, Thor, you've got a team like the Packers with multiple first-round picks. The Raiders, of course, have multiple first-round picks, and they send all their scouts home for, you know, for the rest of the weekend and for the rest of the days leading up to the draft here. I mean, is there a team in the first round that you can identify that, you know, has the potential to just do something like that, to take a pick where you'd be like, what are they doing? I mean, I feel like there's every year there's a pick or two in the first round where we're like, well, no idea what they were thinking on that one.
Yeah, and we're going to get at least a few of those, because this class is like, this is a really weird draft class, right? Like, you know, it's a very bad quarterback class. It's a bad running back class. It's a interesting but not like great receiver class, you know, because it's sort of lacking at the top. But then, like, you know, the next couple tiers are pretty, you know, they're pretty stocked out, and it's a pretty deep one. But, you know, it's kind of down there. And then Hockenson is, you know, is the class of the tight ends, but then it sort of drops off there. And it's the same thing with offensive line. Like, you know, a lot of people don't rank one of the offensive linemen, you know, at the top there. So, and then, you know, in terms of defense, you're just stacked in the front. And so usually the guys that get pushed up the board are, you know, in this class, are in the position groups that are weaker, you know, quarterback being one of them. You know, I mean, if you toss, you know, Murray and Haskins into the last class, I think that they're down, you know, QB4, QB5, QB6, you know, and some people are saying like, oh, you know, no, Kyler would be, you know, at the top, or he'd be number two, you know, if you put the class together. I don't think so. I think Kyler's just a guy where he just so happened to be like, he's the one decent looking girl at the bar, you know, at 2 a.m., you know, kind of a thing where it's just like, or Bill Simmons has this take of like, you know, press box hot. I think Kyler Murray is press box hot in this quarterback class, because there's, you know, there's very few other guys that you can talk yourself into. To answer your question specifically though, yes, yes, we're getting at least a few crazy curveballs. And with the quarterback class specifically, the guy I would keep an eye on is Daniel Jones. I think we could see him go off the board way earlier than people think. One spot to keep an eye on there would be the Redskins at 15, if they don't trade, you know, for Rosen in advance or whatever. But I think Jones would be a very good fit for that offense, you know, with the Grudens and stuff like that. Like, Jones is just prototypical sort of like West Coast kind of a guy, very good in the short and intermediate sector in college. And he's a guy that you can, you know, sort of fall in love with or talk yourself into. The media hasn't done it, but the NFL, you know, assuredly has. So that's one guy. Haskins is another interesting one because he's, you know, sort of all over the place. Like, he could go as high as 6 or he could go as low as, who knows? You know, he could go in the teens or, heck, maybe even the 20s if, you know, the stock keeps going down. I'm not really sure. But, yeah, there's a lot of different wild cards in this class for sure.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about Daniel Jones because we have the report this hour from Charles Robinson of Yahoo that he, I don't know why he would have this info, that Daniel Jones would actually be the top quarterback on an unnamed team's board. But when you hear things like that, the prospects of a team actually trading up for a quarterback this year, could this be the year where we don't see a team trade up for a quarterback, Thor?
I would say no, just because, like, you know, these teams that are going to mistakenly talk themselves into a quarterback, because most of these teams, I would just say, defer it to next year. What are you doing?
Right.
You're going to use the like, and I like Daniel Jones more than almost anybody in the media, right? And even then, I got him 3, and, you know, if you were combining the past two classes, I guess he would have been, trying to do math in my head, I'm not very good at math, better at writing, quarterback 8, I think, something like that. And so, like, you know, it's just a context thing. And for me, I'm waiting until next year. But, you know, these guys in the NFL, they don't have that luxury. I'm sitting at home. I'm not going to get fired, you know, or whatever, like if my team doesn't do well this year or whatever. So it's very easy for me to say, well, why would you take Daniel Jones when you could just get, you know, Tua or Herbert or all these different guys in the next class or whatever. So, but I do think you'll see it, because whether it's the case of this pool of quarterbacks is so, you know, is so shallow. And if Kyler goes 1, let's say, you know, Haskins or Locke or one of those guys, heck, even Jones, who knows, goes, you know, 6 to the Giants, maybe the Broncos take, at that point, then it starts to dry up. And if there's a team down lower on the board that really wants a quarterback, they're going to have to move up to get one. And then the other scenario would be going the other way, where a guy like Haskins or one of those guys, or Locke maybe, where they start to free fall down the board. And then you have the thing where the team wants to get, you know, like the Vikings did with Teddy Bridgewater, you know, whatever that was, 5 or 6 years ago, where he falls to the end of the first round unexpectedly. And then the Vikings want to trade back up into the first bowl to ensure that they would get him. And also you get the extra year, you know, on the rookie contract or whatever. So I would absolutely suspect, predict that a quarterback trade will happen, a trade up. But it's impossible to say what, because these guys could go, you know, in any order. I think Kyler's the only guy that you can write in pen right now.
After this weekend, Thor naps. Until then, Roto-World's Thor Nystrom is all about the NFL draft on Thursday night. Of course, it all gets kicked off. What's left for you to share with us between now and Thursday, Thor, and where can we get more of your work?
Yeah, so I've been going through this ridiculous position deep dive where I write, you know, 10,000 plus words on every position. Fortunately for me, and fortunately for my girlfriend, fortunately for my sanity, fortunately for my family, that is almost over. I will be publishing the linebackers today. Defensive backs, I believe, go on Sunday. And then I'll be doing a top 400 big board where I just list them out so you can print that off, bring it to your draft party, you know, cross people out as you go. Also be doing a mock draft on Wednesday. We just have a whole bunch of stuff at the Roto-World NFL draft page, so just stop by. And then I always put my links up to my stuff, you know, whether it's that stuff or, you know, all the different kind of stuff on my Twitter handle, at Thorku, Thorku. So you can check it out there, too.
Thor, before we let you go, I want to sneak in one question about really the top story today, being the Raiders. The Raiders telling all their scouts to go home until after the draft. Your thoughts on this, and are we getting closer to... Couldn't an NFL organization just hire a bunch of Thors at this point? I'm being honest. With film being available, and you read the work that you do at this point... I mean, the work you guys do, I would think if you had to choose between one of the two, I like the new school approach versus the old school approach. Thor, are we heading in this direction?
If you guys can get me a job in the NFL, that's great. We just won't talk to my bosses that we're doing it in advance. But, I think, you know, the NFL is moving towards, you know, just like the NBA did, just like baseball did, you know, Bill James and all that kind of stuff. They're moving towards a more holistic evaluation approach. You know, it's less you know, you think of the scene in Moneyball, you know, where all those old crusty guys are at the table with Brad Pitt or whatever. And, you know, they're spouting off all this old school nonsense. And Brad Pitt's like, you guys, the game has passed you guys by, basically. Like, you're talking about swings and form and all this kind of nonsense. Well, what about the guys who can play? And, you know, that's where analytics comes in. It can't say the whole story. You know, you got to do tape. You got to do analytics. You have to learn from the past, and that's all analytics is. It's, you know, some people think that it's just like, you know, looking at a stat sheet. It's not that at all. You know, it's quantifying who is coming to the NFL, you know, in the past, where did they get picked? You know, what were their dimensions? What were their measurables? What was their production in college? You know, you bake all that kind of stuff in, and then you run these regression models that figure out what exactly is important for each position, you know, in terms of testing, in terms of is there a size threshold, in terms of even production, you know, in terms of stats, like all that different kind of stuff. And, you know, we can sort of pick guys out in the class that we might like a little bit more. But, you know, I would say that, you know, that can come in a little bit more, but we still need people in those rooms, right? Like, there's some players where I have no idea what they're like. I'll give you an example from this class. Ja'Kai Polite, the edge rusher from Florida, was a kid that during the season, you know, my job for people out there, I don't cover the NFL. I cover college football. That's what I'm doing every Saturday. I came on with Danger and the guys on the sports bar to talk college football every, you know, Friday during the season. When I was watching Polite during the season and, you know, with that work, he was one of the better edge rushers in the nation. And so I was like really, really excited about him. But, you know, I started to hear some things from some of my buds in the media, you know, over Twitter DMs and stuff like that, about some things that had to do with Polite's personality or the way that he carried himself at the combine, specific things that happened there that really sort of troubled me. And then he had, you know, bad testing, stuff like that. But they're getting that stuff from those guys, the team guys that are inside those buildings. And so I think you need both. You know, I think you need guys that are going to, I mean, heck, we could get, you know, we could probably use more psychologists, you know, to get in there and talk to these kids. I think we could use more number guys, the scouts that do the film and are there, you know, at the game on the sidelines, checking the guys out, you know, as, you know, live sort of round stuff like that, being down on field level. I think all that stuff is extremely valuable, and you bake it all in like a cake, and then, you know, it comes out, and I think you'll get more accurate type picks, you know, at that point. You'll get more bang for your buck. So I wouldn't say toss the baby out with the bathwater kind of a thing, but I would say, you know, there's all these different areas, and traditionally the NFL just focused on this one specific thing, and that caused them to fetishize some players or some player types and then forget about other kind of players. And we've seen in recent years, it's starting to go the other way where they're getting smarter with it. You know, Baker Mayfield never would have been the first pick a decade ago. Kyler Murray never would have, you know, I disagree that Kyler should go number one, but the fact that he is going number one, I think, you know, in terms of the NFL, the way that they view things, I think that's a very positive thing that, you know, that just says that they're more flexible in the way they're seeing guys or space players. You know, the slot position has increased in value, all this different kind of stuff. And I think it all speaks to that. So I think the NFL is getting there. It's just kind of, you know, a glacial sort of progression.
Well, Thor, we're going to take advantage of the time we have with you while we have you before the Vikings snatch you up and have you on their payroll doing this kind of work for them, because it's valuable stuff. I can't get enough of it. I'm so happy that we've been able to get you on as often as we have here in advance of the draft. Looking forward to next weekend. I know you are as well, because then you can actually maybe enjoy some time. And again, we can't thank you enough for giving us some of your time here in the sports bar.
And I can't thank you guys enough. I mean, before anyone knew who my name was, before the NBC had me go out there and talk with Chris Sims and all those guys, you guys have me on your show every week. So I want to say thank you to you guys. This is my favorite show to be on, and I'll come back whenever you want me.
Love it, Thor. Looking forward to it. And enjoy next weekend. We know that you've been waiting for it.
Go Bills and go Ed Oliver.
Love it. Thanks, Thor. Thor Nystrom, rotoworld.com. You can read all of his work there, and it's amazing. It's a lot of stuff. You will be a smarter football fan, and you will be fully prepared for Thursday night if you follow what Thor is doing online at rotoworld.com. That was great, and if you missed it, we'll get it for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com.
Read up. You want to have some takes on tap
here.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Of course, no sports show is complete without these days a take on the Lakers, but holy cow. The Lakers are interviewing somebody. Do they have a short memory? Do they not do their homework here? This is a terrible fit, and it's so terrible. I want this to happen, Mike Danger.
No. I have, as I mentioned earlier, I have a player that's still available in the free agent market that the Buffalo Bills, I think, should take a look at in terms of their ability to stop the run on defense. He would certainly aid their efforts in that arena. I have a baseball take.
I have one, too. I'm going to upset a lot of people.
And I also have a take on the firing of Phil Housley. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Well, there's no take. It's too bad. The end.
Hire a new coach. I have a take. We all have takes. By the way, your takes, you have takes as well. Takes are currency. strong takes equals strong individual. Last call happens right before we close up shop. And if you want to be a part of it, keep this in mind, 454-ESPN. Call us on the Bentlem Residential Hotline. For 95 years, there has been one company to call to service, repair, or replace your home heating equipment, Bentlem Residential Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Bentlem Residential at 271-HEAT or visit Bentlem.com today. We will do last call right around 5:45 or so. Your takes on the air with us, unscripted, unrehearsed, live, unscreened, without a net. We want your takes. Come strong. Last call right before we close up shop here in the sports bar. But next, takes on tap. I'll drink to that in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.